Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. It is still Pride Month. Happy Pride, everybody. And today I have decided to take a little bit of a different tactic, and I am wearing lots of trans colors today because I wanted to feel festive, and it's in a suit. And instead of an afro, I'm wearing long braids. So as we journey deeper into Pride Month, there is a conversation that I wanted to have because we are also approaching Juneteenth. This is going to be my last episode before Juneteenth, but I would be completely disappointed in myself if I didn't seem to mention that former President Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty to 37 charges related to allegedly mishandling classified documents. Trump's lawyers asked for a jury trial during the former president's arraignment on Tuesday at a federal courthouse in Miami. They said, "We must certainly enter a plea of not guilty," Trump's attorney told Todd Blanche told the judge. During the hearing, Trump sat hunched over with his arms crossed and a scowl on his face, and he did not speak. The thing is, like, we all know, if you've listened to earlier episodes of this podcast, that Donald Trump has definitely created a culture of violence and emboldened people to feeling a specific sort of way when it comes to our economy, our country, our rights as people. It has become, it's like taken on a life of its own. And it's what's really interesting about this is that I always feel like I kind of followed politics to a degree for a long time, but now we're in a space to where it seems like all the news stations are really pointed at this, and I think it's specifically just because Trump is trying to run for president again, right? And that's what's making this so terrifying. That's what's making it so scary, because this person pretty much staged a coup against the government, like, you know, when they lost the election. And I even think about how Donald Trump didn't even, like, shake hands with President Biden before leaving or any of that stuff. Even, like, I think about, I remember that video of the Obamas standing to greet Trump and shake hands and all that stuff as a classy person would do, instead of being a petulant child who just immediately ran to their helicopter to, you know, flee the scene, basically. You know, it's what's happening in our country right now is just really, really, really disappointing to see. It just feels like high school drama, but there are real lives at stake. There are countless identities at stake, and it's just really hurtful that we live in a space that people feel emboldened to be awful to one another. And that's why this episode's kind of going to be about minority groups, Pride, and Juneteenth. So Juneteenth is June 19th. A lot of people keep asking me when it is and where it is and what it is. And I can tell you right now that I know that we all have Google at the touch of our fingertips, but I understand that also some people just don't necessarily want to care. And even though we have Juneteenth as is now considered a national holiday, a federally recognized holiday, people still just don't know what it is. And so I've been celebrating Juneteenth for a very, very long time. I remember my mom used to talk about it all the time, even though I really had no idea what it was. So Juneteenth is a federal holiday in the United States commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. And it's so during the Civil War, right, the holiday was first celebrated in Texas, where on the date in 1865, in the aftermath of the Civil War, enslaved people were declared free under the terms of the 1862 Emancipation Proclamation. It's basically, this is when they knew that they were free. And so we honor that date because that's when, you know, it was celebrated, it was something that we cherished, and it was an opportunity to just finally feel free and then think about a better future. Now, nowadays, it's usually just marked as a day of freedom and liberation and celebration. I just remember Juneteenth parties, like, where there would just be cookouts and, like, there would be opportunities to be around family and things like that as I was growing up. That's what I remembered the most about it. It also happens to be my dad's birthday. It's actually on June 19th as well. So that's also kind of one of those things, because my dad would always celebrate it, as well, along with his birthday. I threw a Juneteenth party here in Portland last year or the year before. I can't remember. I think it was the year before. And so many people came out to it, and everybody was like there expecting to like learn, and which was great, but that's not. I had told everybody in the audience, I was like, Juneteenth has always just been a celebration for the way I always celebrated it. And I said, and you're welcome to participate. I'm inviting the door. I'm opening the door for you. You're invited to the cookout, and this is where you can celebrate and be free in this space. And it was kind of interesting that some people were disappointed at the fact that they weren't just going to get a history lesson or like be able to get their, like I learned something about black people, sticker on their card. That's just never what it was about. That was never what it was supposed to be. And as we continue celebrating it moving forward, I hope it gets more known. I hope it gets more recognized. So this year I'm throwing a Juneteenth queer dance party, at the intersecting identities of being queer and being black. We are going to be celebrating at CeCe Slaughter's June 19th, 2023, if you're, catching up to this podcast. And we're going to have Gisele Barbie Royale, who's currently on Queen of the Universe, the WOW Presents show, Queen of the Universe. And I am just in awe of this process. I'm just in awe of seeing this come together. Right now, we have 19 black drag artists who are going to be participating in this, in the festivities. And I'm so happy that we get to celebrate, drink, and be free and be merry. It just, I don't know. It's just a really beautiful thing. My blackness has always been at the forefront of my mind in everything that I do. I recently was hanging out at a friend's house yesterday, and when I got there, it was a neighborhood I'd never been to, and I was wearing, I mean, they were pastel green, but I was wearing a hoodie and sweatpants and a beanie, and I was walking trying to figure out where the apartment was, and I'm just so actively and always aware that how I present as this like bigger black dude wearing sweats and a beanie can be perceived as I'm walking around. And it's sad because I always wonder if white men feel that way when they walk through spaces that they have to be consistently aware about how they're presenting. And I bet it's probably a no. But from walking into a grocery store, going into a bank. Actually, I even just a couple days ago, I was going into my bank to deposit some drag money, and I walked in and this new teller like turned around and looked at me and stared and looked kind of, I don't know, I don't want to necessarily put too much emotion behind the look she gave me, but I felt immediately uncomfortable. Like I was in my business clothes because I was at work going to the bank. And I had a bag, of course, because I had a bunch of money to deposit. And I just, I don't know, it was a weird interaction. It felt like she just didn't necessarily want me to like be there, or like I was gonna rob the place or something like that. And I don't necessarily want to put motive behind that look she gave me. She could have just been having a bad day. But that's the thing about being black. We have to assume that. Well, we don't have to, but it's better to assume that they think something negative so we can keep ourselves safe. Like, and I know people are like, God, wouldn't that be exhausting consistently having your guard up? Yes. I said a long time ago on this podcast that, self-care is considered to be a luxury. And I do actually believe that that phrase still, I believe that that phrase is true. Because when I'm trying to relax, it's really hard to do it outside of my home. And like when you're on the beach, or if you're at a hotel, or like if you're going to like Disneyland, or you're going on vacation or something like that, your blackness follows you. And how people perceive blackness follows you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, like if you want to go, like especially, oh my gosh, especially on road trips. Road trips are the worst. I love road trips. I actually do. I really love road trips. But what I can't stand is when you're just like trying to like go into a gas station to just buy some snacks, right? But there's always those small backwood towns that don't they have two black people, and when you go in there you get a dirty look, even though you're just trying to buy some gas or just buy some Cheetos, and they're just giving you the dirtiest looks known to man. And I just hate that feeling. I hate that feeling so much, because like even as a like, and I know people are like, well, you know, I get the same way being queer sometimes. And as weird as this sounds, you can hide queerness in the sense of safety. You can't hide blackness for safety. And so I do have friends who are like, they're like, oh no, people immediately know from the second I do anything. I was like, no, but people can see you're black from the second the fact that you get out of your car, right? You know, and then walk into a space. It's different. It's not the oppression Olympics, but it is definitely different. It's something that I can't hide no matter what I want to do. And I have felt so uncomfortable and so alone at times when I'm trying to be this version of myself. I get really uncomfortable when I try to be this version of myself, because I want to be loud, I want to be active, I want to be proud and all my labels and my identities, and to a degree I am, but I also want to make sure that I don't end up on the wrong side of a gun. I don't want to end up on the wrong side of law enforcement. I don't want to be that person. And I have marched and I've been in those protests. I've been in demonstrations. I've been that person where I am consistently trying to be the best version of myself that I can. And it doesn't always work. I remember just a couple of days ago after the bank thing, that when I was leaving the branch, I had like a bag, I had like a money bag with me as I was just like walking away. And I was very aware of what that could look like in this space. Or I even wonder if, like, you know, that woman had her hand near the silent alarm or something like that. And I am so uncomfortable by the fact that this is who I have to be to survive in the United States. And I also know that people are not inherently evil, but I do believe that people are inherently racist. And what I mean by that is we are brought up in a society that teaches us one thing when that's not necessarily how the world works. We have to continually unlearn our racism. We have to continually unlearn our homophobia. I keep thinking about how I was watching old cartoons on TikTok, and they were like, it was a cartoon about like what they thought modern day cards would look like, and they were just making consistent jokes about women. They're just like making consistent jokes about women. And like about women being bad drivers. They're like, oh yeah, now we have a garage that will like move the whole garage so your wife doesn't ding up your car and da 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 da. And I was like, wow. I was like, this was the kind of, because I remember these cartoons as a kid, and that was just how the world worked. That was just the story behind it. And we just accepted that. I even think about the TV show Scrubs, and Scrubs, how it consistently is making fun of the main character in Scrubs. The character's name is JD, and how they're constantly called like a little girl's name, and they're more feminine presenting and whatever. And that's what the show's about. Like, the show's about these doctors and they're going through their life and trials and tribulations, but you know, they make everything seem like being feminine is a negative, and that's like a lot of the jokes in the show. And that's things that we were raised on, right? Those are the country shows we were raised on. I was watching, like, I think I mentioned this on the podcast earlier. I was watching Steven Universe. And Steven Universe is probably the most progressive cartoon show I have ever seen in my life. I was like, wow. I was like, shows like this as a kid would have been so great. And I know people say, they're like, well, we didn't know these things back then. The thing is, we did know some of these things back then, but we didn't know how to make it mainstream. People like to think that opening up your kid's mind to different ways of thinking is confusing to them. Like, parents say that. They're like, well, I don't want my kid to be confused. I don't want my kid to be confused about two men or two women. I want to know them. They have a mommy and they have a daddy. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But also, like, your kid looks a certain way or might need glasses, or they're a kid who is left-handed versus right-handed. I guess that's the best example. Left-handed versus right-handed. And like, my mom told me that I was supposed to be a left-handed person because she just kept taking things out of my left hand and putting them in my right. I will say that my left hand is completely useless. It really, really is. And as a kid, there was nothing wrong with being left-handed or right-handed, right? Sure, you had to buy left-handed scissors, and the world was built for right-handed people, but the reality is there was nothing wrong with it. And so when parents are like, well, they're going to be confused by this. I think if a kid can understand if somebody's left-handed and somebody is right-handed, they can understand that there might be two mommies, two daddies, right? Like, that's how it works. And I think I'm disappointed at the fact that we're still having these conversations even in 2023. As we are approaching Juneteenth, I think it's really important that we take a strong look at ourselves as a society and recognizing that we're still not there yet, but we need to start working harder to get ourselves to the next level. That was a lot of information, listeners. Let me ask real quick, how are you doing? Let me know in the comments.
You know, when it comes to drag, a lot of us were exposed to it because of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And you know what's even cooler than that? They sometimes do shadow casts of Rocky Horror all over the city. Specifically speaking, Marla Darling presents the Rocky Horror Lavender Show at Clinton Street Theater. Join Marla's cast of queer, trans, and BIPOC individuals as they present the original Midnight Mass, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, at the historic Clinton Street Theater. Show dates are July 29th, September 30th, and October 27th. Tickets are available at cstpdx.com. That is cstpdx.com. Don't dream it, be it.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into What They Tell You podcast. Check
it out. Buddy, and we are back. So in the second part of the show, I want to talk about something a little bit more near and dear to my heart because this happened to me recently. So I figured I would just go ahead and get into it. So recently that my mom was in the hospital, and it's really important to my mom is one of the most important people in my life. And I remember when I talked about my coming out story on this podcast, I talked about how there was that brief period where me and my mother didn't talk to each other, and that was really hard. Well, one thing that happened that was different than this time versus all the other times that, you know, because my mom's a little older, that she was in the hospital, is I actually thought this was the time. I thought this was the time that when she went into the hospital that she wouldn't be coming back out. And I started getting really nervous, and I started getting really sad and really scared. And I was talking to my sister about it, and I realized that, you know, in these moments of heartbreak and whatever, we have the conversation of chosen family, right? And my sister is my actual family. She knows this woman, and she, this is her mom. And so when I was talking to her and like having these conversations and dialogues, I realized that I have a lot more in common with my sister than I thought I did. Now, my sister is one of the people who made me feel super isolated when I came out of the closet because she accepted me for who I was and then later in life decided she didn't accept me for who I was. But when I was talking to her on the phone about my mom, I was realizing that, you know, she was just as scared as I was. And it gave me that ability to commiserate with her and talk with her and recognize that she's an adult too who's going through her own struggles. And the reason I'm bringing all of that up is I do think that I have been a little bit too harsh in some of my activism because I know that some of us are just going through things. Some of us really are on a path of not knowing which way is up. And some people need grace in that. I talk often about how we don't give each other enough grace when we make mistakes. And it's really disappointing because I make a ton of mistakes. But I'm oftentimes not given the grace to be able to get back up on my feet. And I've recognized that. And so I kind of gave my sister, that benefit in my brain. The thing is, like, my sister and I will never be severely close because of her religious views, but we do share the same parents, and we are going to be living this life eventually one day without them. And so it's good to have that as a support system for a person I should hang on to. Now, I know a lot of people talk about no contact, and I do think that that is important. However, I also know that the harm that my sister has caused me has not been the harm that I've seen from some of my friends who have gone no contact. My sister and I have a lot of disagreements about the way life is. Basically, bare bones, it's a nature versus nurture conversation. But what I have done is I am there for my sister when she needs me. But I will not pull any punches with my sister either. I will not go back into a closet for anybody else in my life. I am so sick and tired of going back into a closet. Just recently, actually, I had posted a picture, like a bunch of pictures on my door. I work at a conservative company. I posted a bunch of pictures for Pride Month on my door, and an employee this last week actually came and put a heart next to it. And it wasn't like, and they were kind of talking about it in the sense of like a Facebook heart, but they put an actual physical like cutout of a heart next to my window that shows like pictures of me in drag, pictures of me and my husband, pictures of me and my queer friends, because this is how I'm celebrating Pride. I'm celebrating Pride with these people. So it was actually really beautiful to see. That somebody actually gave me some positive reinforcement for that wall that I had. And the reason all of this is really important for you all listeners is, like, as I always try to be educational in these moments, is I know that we don't always get it right, and we don't always know what direction we should go when we're trying to just be our most authentic selves. But I do think that there is something to be said about continually just trying to be your authentic self. I think people will get on board with you if they know who you are and you treat everybody with kindness and respect and passion. I know that at the end of the day, most of us just want to find love and find it in, like, 'cause that's what sexual orientation is, right? Like, how we love, who we love, right? And I think everybody, like I said before, can get on board with the fact that we just want to have that. What really hurts my heart is when I see people who struggle so hard in love with people that they really shouldn't be giving so much of their energy into. There really are plenty of fish into the sea. And like, and it's so much harder when you're a queer person, because they're so, you have to first figure out if the person's queer, and then they have to like you, and then see if they, you know, all of that goes into place, and then actually start dating and then be in a relationship, and then seeing how they fold towels and see if they fold them the correct way. And actually, let's bring it up a little bit. What's so beautiful about being queer and then not having easy access to love is that we fight for it so much harder. We fight for it when we feel like it's right. We fight for it when we know that in our heart of hearts, this is what love is supposed to be like. And I think that that's something that we should always continually strive to do. That's why I can fight my sister on those issues. That's why I can find love for my sister when my mom is in the hospital. That's why I can do these things and continue to move forward, especially when I face such adversity for the labels that I have from being a Black person. I have even Black people being like, why are you trying to like conflate Blackness and queerness? It's like, no, I'm a Black queer person. I want to be able to celebrate Juneteenth and Pride Month. Like, that's what I would like to be able to do. And I want to be able to feel these sides of my identity at the same time without having to hide myself. So if anybody out there is struggling with these issues, like, please reach out. And I know that having intersecting identities can mean something to somebody else. Like, some people who feel like they're half Black can't celebrate Juneteenth, and that's not the case. Some people who are more brown presenting feel like they can't celebrate it, and that's not the case. Like, it's supposed to be out for freedom, liberation, and safety. And when it comes to accepting yourself for who you are, especially during Pride Month, like, you can't force somebody to accept you, but all you can do is live authentically in your truth, and eventually people get on board, and if they don't, they'll just get out of your way. So yeah, that's kind of where I want to leave it, listeners. I hope you have a happy Pride. Bye. Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.